Isn't it great to just be in the presence of God? Just to be with people you love and people that love Jesus. And when we begin to yearn for Christ, there's a guarantee Christ always yearns for us. I want you to lock that in. Sometimes I think we think we got to do something impressive to get God to move. And I want us to begin to see today that as we follow Jesus Christ, God desires to move in us. He's not off. You know what I mean? I mean, God's not waiting for something special to happen. He's waiting for us to join with what's already special, and that is Him. I mean, He's ready to do great works. God is in the business of great works all the time. Amen? And so what we want to focus on today is gathering that attitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Remember, nobody's left out, and everybody's included. Y'all remember that, right? How many of y'all invited somebody that didn't feel like they were included today? Okay, well, just imagine if we actually did this stuff, what would happen? But I really want to compliment you all, because I'm going to talk today. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That is one attitude that connects with a pure heart. Everybody's welcome to the kingdom of God. Hillview, you've done a good job with this, and I want to continue to encourage you. We as a church got to continue to throw open our doors to the people in this community that can hear our voice. You are welcome to the kingdom of God. That is the message. That is the hope. That is the power. That is God's attitude. Welcome to heaven. Isn't that great? Welcome to heaven. I want you to get that. Welcome to heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That means everybody needs a relationship with Jesus. Amen. There is no salvation without Christ. We don't earn it. We receive it. We receive. Lock that word in your head. I want to receive the attitude of Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of what? Of heaven. How many of y'all glad to know that we can have a little heaven on earth? Okay, let's lock these attitudes. We're going to get down to what we're going to deal with today. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who realize their reality, because God's going to send His power in their situation. Blessed are those who mourn. When we grieve, when we hurt, we're going to have loss. We're going to have difficulty. We're going to have bumps in the road. Those are the facts of living. They're just the facts of living. And guess what God says? I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you, and I'm there, and my comfort will take you all the way to heaven. Isn't that great? So hang in there. And then He says, and blessed are the meek, the teachable, because they're going to inherit the earth. I mean, it's a simple attitude. If you're willing to listen and grow, you're going to be better than you used to be. How many of y'all learn from life? Well, you got to embrace it. You got to learn. How many of y'all are smarter today than you used to be? How many of y'all are smarter this week than you were last week? Okay, that means you had a good week. If you're dumber than you were last week, you're digressing. God wants us to progress in the kingdom, not digress in the kingdom, all right? And look what else He says. He said, then blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who desire to do what is right, God honors them. Justice, integrity. We just finished an election this week. Well, guess what our prayers ought to be? Not if our guy or gal got elected or not, but that justice and integrity will be in the leadership of our nation. That they would hunger. You know, what would happen to our nation if they hungered and desired to do what is right? Not what is partisan, but what is right. Then we would have a real leadership core. Amen? And so guess what? We got to keep praying these things. Let me remind you, we're at war and it's serious. We're at war and it's serious. We've kind of forgotten that we're at war. My friends, we got ladies and gentlemen that are serving in our armed services in this church right now in Iraq. How many of y'all are lifting up prayers? God protect them. God, may justice be done in that part of the land. Father, may there be correction. And I pray this too. May it be done swiftly, and may we get back home. May it be done swiftly, and we get back home. Let's be a righteous nation. Here's what I believe. If the battle is mine, saith the Lord, and if we'd give the battle to the Lord, a lot of these world situations would be worked out. They would be worked out. But guess what? I don't think a lot of strategists are going to pray. I believe that's going to be left up to the followers of Jesus. So we better be on our prayer horse about that deal. Amen? Just a reminder, we tend to forget we're at war. We're at war. We just celebrated Veterans Day. We're going to have some more veterans. It's over 100 to 200 people a month being killed in Iraq. These are our brothers and sisters. And guess what? There's a whole lot of Iraqis being killed too. And I want them to meet Jesus and go to heaven too. Yeah? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, whether they're from Iraq or not. I think Jesus says something like this. Pray for your enemies, even when they blow your trade towers up. pray for them that God may be realized in the world. Look at here. And then blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We covered that last week. How many of y'all got a little more merciful this week? Anybody cut you off on Scottsville Road? How many of y'all blessed them instead of cussed them? You see, these small attitude adjustments begin to reveal God's heart to a world, and people want to connect to Jesus when they see the real thing. Amen? Now, this is what it's about. Blessed are the pure in heart. How many of y'all got a pure heart? How many of y'all got a pure heart? Now, blessed are the pure heart, and look what it says. For they will see God. Now, let me show you something. Everybody in here has got a pure heart if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You say, well, now, Ayers, you don't understand. Sometimes I'm a little sneaky. I didn't say you wasn't sneaky. I said you got a pure heart. Let me show you why you got a pure heart. You got a pure heart because God has forgiven you of all your sin. You got a pure heart because you've been totally forgiven. Does that make sense? How many of y'all realize that when Jesus forgave you, He forgave all of you? How many of y'all think like, well, I know God forgave the big stuff, but I still got a little. No, He forgave the little stuff too. Amen? How many of y'all are like passive-aggressive, polite people? Nasty little boogers. Those are the worst. I like people that throw a fit. You know they're mad. It's people that smile and go, oh, I love you. And they're trotting right behind your back with daggers. Yeah, huh? This is not a pure heart. Now, I want you to know something, church. The motive of your heart reveals your reality. Note that one. That's powerful. The motive of your heart reveals to you your reality. See, blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus said, now, if you with a pure heart are seeking me, you will see me. Now, a lot of people think, well, that's after I die and go to heaven. Let me tell you somebody I know that has a pure heart. I grew up with a pure heart mother. My mama has the purest heart of anybody I've ever met. And she raised me. I remember they had her under morphine, and I was waiting to see. This was my shot. My mama, higher than a kite. I was seeing if there was something that was going to come out I could get on her. Watch this. This is how pure my mama is. Under morphine, all she could talk about was grocery coupons. Now, that's a pure heart. I don't want to be knocked out. There are some stories you don't need to hear when I get knocked out. There are some episodes I don't want told. But my mama, unconscious, you know, mind altered, she wanted her scissors to cut out her coupons for the grocery. I never will forget that. I said, Mama, you got any stories you need to tell me? She goes, where are my scissors? My scissors, my scissors. I'm like, Lord have mercy, this woman's prayed so much, all she can think about is her mind goes wayward and she thinks about grocery coupons. When my mind goes wayward, let's not even talk about it. It's a pure heart. And you know what it says? They will see who? Well, now let me show you what needs to go on here. Our lives let other people see God. That ought to be the attitude of the church. When you come to Hillview, guess what? When we're planning and putting worship together, guess what our prayer is? That we might see God. When we're preaching God's Word, that we might see what? God. In a lot of the pulpits across America, in the 1970s, they would have this placard on the pulpit. And it said, sir, that we would see Jesus. If you got a pure heart, you live with this kind of approach. I want people to see Jesus in my conduct and in my heart. Now, let me tell you something. Here's where we get messed up. You can have a pure heart and some messed up actions. How many of y'all have ever said the wrong thing with a pure heart? It didn't say you wouldn't say the wrong thing. It said you would see God. How many of y'all got your phrases bumbled? How many were wearing a good dress and said, well, that dress is pretty nice on somebody else? You ever said something like that? See what I'm saying? Your mouth slipped, huh? A pure heart means this. I want the other people. There's three things I want you to get out of a pure heart. First, I want other people to know my Jesus. Hillview, I believe that's building in here. What do you think? I want other people to know my Jesus. How many of y'all want somebody else to know your Jesus? I'm not going to let off on this. Y'all think I'm crazy. Y'all think I'm just joking about this. I told you in January, since it's cold, you ought to remember January again. I told you in January, one of the goals that I'm praying for us as a church is that every one of you would connect somebody to Jesus Christ, those of you that are followers of Christ. Have you done it yet? You got 6 weeks left. So y'all think I'm joking. This is the ministry of the church, that somebody would meet my Jesus. You know what? I've never seen anybody get in trouble that was on the mission for somebody to meet their Jesus. I've never seen a church get in trouble where its heart was that people would meet Jesus. I've never seen a group of religious people get in trouble where their pure heart was that somebody else would meet Jesus. If you have got a heart for people to meet Jesus, guess what? God will fund it. God will bless it. God will energize it. God will motivate it. God will put it together. And God's visual reality will be in your midst. If you get a heart that somebody has got to meet my Jesus. Amen. Come on, amen. Well, let me ask you a question then. Where's your somebody? Maybe the person you live with called your wife or your husband. Or your children. We're fixing to have holiday time. Well, who comes in at holiday time? Everybody. How many of y'all got family you don't want to see at Christmas? They come anyway, don't they? Because it's Christmas and they have to come. And you have in-laws. You don't necessarily like them, but you know you got to have them. And guess what? You got to bless them. You got to love them. How many of y'all, if you host the Christmas and Thanksgiving events, you will begin to pray over that event. And you say, at my house, my family's going to see Jesus this holiday season. My family's going to see how thankful I am for what Jesus has done in our lives. My family's going to see at Christmas that this is about Christmas. It's not about a holiday. It's about Christmas. We're celebrating the advent of God's power, God's salvation, God's movement among His people. Merry Christmas is what they're going to hear at my house. Well, you get a pure heart. You get a pure heart. You'll get some mighty action. Woof. See, when you live with a pure heart, if you want to see God, you got to get that pure heart. Now, that's got to be given to you. All your sins are forgiven by Jesus, so you already got it. So here's the thing. Today, you got to decide to live in the purity of your God-made heart. Amen. Let me remind you, you can have a pure heart and have some messed up actions. Now, let me warn you. You can have some good outward actions and have an impure heart. I'll take a person that stumbles and bumbles with a pure heart over somebody that's smooth and silk with a corrupt heart. And church, I want to warn you, y'all got to be careful now. We can't get suckered. Not everybody that carries a Bible's a believer. Not everybody that quotes Scripture knows the heart of Jesus. If you notice, blessed are the pure what? Heart. Don't just watch a person's words. Watch their life. I don't ever speak about anybody till I spend enough time watching their life. Because their footsteps will dictate their belief. If they tell me they love everybody, then I'm going to watch them. I'm going to see who they pass by in the atrium. I'm going to see who they snub. I'm going to see who they welcome. I'm going to see how well they handle conflict. Because now I'm going to tell you what, all this, I'm a great Christian, and then when it comes to conflict, I fall apart. Then you really don't have the heart of God yet. A pure person of heart says, you know what, we're going to resolve the conflict, not add to it. I'm going to hear their agenda. Is their agenda about others meeting Jesus? Three things. First of all, you ought to want others to meet Jesus. Second thing, you ought to want people around you to experience God's purity. God's what? Purity. Here's what I've found. Ms. Shoulders, I've found in my life, my purity is corrupt at best. How many of y'all, even y'all's purity is corrupt? I got some flies in my ointment. Anybody got any flies in their ointment? How many of y'all have ever done this? You do something nice for somebody, but that's because you want to have them owe you one. Anybody ever done that? How come y'all got that grin on your face? Everybody got a grin on it. Freddie, you got it too. Don't be laughing. Huh? How many of y'all got that grin on your face? Huh? How many of y'all have done it? How many of y'all have ever said this? Well, I tell you what, now I did this for so-and-so and they ought to be obligated. Is that a pure heart?
No.
See, I got some flies in my ointment. How many of y'all found this? The devil begins to give you that kind of thinking when you get out of your pure heart. A lot of my colleagues, pastors, are all bottled up because they think their congregations owe them something. I have to work with a lot of young pastors. I love young pastors because young pastors are pure in heart. When they start out, they're pure in heart. They think church people are believers. True, Jamie? When I started pastoring, I used to think people that went to church believed in Jesus. Boy, was I surprised. They believe, and guess what I found out they believed in the beginning of my ministry? They believe in their denomination. They believe in their technique. They believe in their bylaws. They believe in their procedures. But Jesus is way down the list. They had enemies. They talked more about what they were against than what they were for. And I begin to read the Bible, and the Bible talks more about what God's for than what He's against. And so why don't we keep it pure? Amen? This is what purity reminds me of, if it gives you a visual. Ivory soap. Ivory soap is pure. How many of y'all like ivory soap? It floats. Do y'all know that? Huh? Ivory soap floats. If you ever take a bath in the lake, use ivory soap. Because you won't lose your soap. You can just lay it right out there in the lake, swim with it, float with it. It's pure, okay? If you use Irish Spring, sucker goes right to the bottom. Anybody know why? It's got other stuff in it. Now, how many of you all need God to take some of your other stuff out so your attitudes will come in? So you ought to want people to meet Jesus in your life. You ought to want to share the attitude of Jesus in your life. And the reason I know how ivory soap floats is because Elizabeth taught us all that in our family at the lake. She went, look, ivory floats. And she had us all out there bathing in the lake. We were planning on getting healed like that guy, you know, that washed in the Jordan River. We were washing in the Barren trying to see if it had healing powers. Because we figured the Barren was as dirty as the Jordan, okay? Look here. It didn't clean the lake up, though. It didn't clean the lake up. But it was a purity. It's just soap. How many of y'all need just Jesus? What do you think, Dr. Whittle? If we got back to just Jesus in the purest form, I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want other people to know Jesus. I want them to know Jesus' attitude. A pure heart begins to produce pure actions. And the third thing is this, we got to know the attitudes of a pure heart. I want you to go with me to Galatians 5:22 because I want you to see these are realities of the pure heart. They're the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, we spend a lot of time teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our church, but guess what? If you don't have the heart of the Holy Spirit, the gifts are always messed up. Okay? If you don't have the heart of the Holy Spirit, the gifts are always messed up because people get hepped up on the gifts. Make sense? Let me show you how that works. Preaching is a gift. Preaching is a gift. I don't do this because I can. I do this because the Lord allows it. Does that make sense? The Lord allows it. And it's a gift. You know, I believe Keith Scarborough has a gift to sing. But I believe it's a gift. Amen? I've heard singers and then I've heard anointed singers. There's a big difference. There's a big difference in a CD and Billy Duvall. You know what I'm talking about? There's a big difference in our praise team just hearing them sing notes and seeing them involved in the anointing of God. It's their heart that sings. It's their heart that sings. What does it say in Ephesians? We ought to sing with our what? Heart, not just our mouth. Our attitude matches our vocal utterance. Now, when we go to Galatians 5:22, this is the third thing I want to leave you with today. First of all, I want other people to see Jesus in my life. That's a pure heart. That's God's command. Secondly, I want people to see the attitudes of Jesus. How many of y'all get the attitudes of Jesus out in your daily life? I think you do. Come on, don't stand there and act like you don't. How many of y'all know you do? Okay, watch. Let's be honest. It's starting to come out in this church. But here's what it is. It's not all the way out yet. And I think it scares us when it gets loose. Hello? How many of y'all are going, man, if I invite people to 8 o'clock service, I'm going to lose my parking place. See, the fly in the ointment gets in our purity. What if we had this attitude? I don't care where I got to park as long as somebody gets saved. See, now that's the attitude that built this church. I don't care where I got to sit as long as somebody gets saved. I don't care what I got to listen to as long as somebody what? Watch this. I'm going to tell you right now, if Miss Pink was in here, she would delight in having for me to say this. Guess what? Our new generation's singing some new songs. And I don't know what's happened to me. I don't get them. Ooh, boy, am I reminded of 16 years ago. I'm looking at Miss Pink and Pam Danks and Montreux, you and Quinn, and we're starting to sing what? New songs. Now, I liked As the Deer Panteth. Y'all remember that one? Remember? As the deer panteth for... Because that kind of sounded like Magic Balloon. And now I'm getting new sounds. Yeah, with all kinds of new beats. And guess what I'm realizing? God is speaking to the next generation. And I think that as a pastor, I would be a total fraud. I would be such a corrupt heart if I didn't say, God, speak through the next generation. How arrogant could I be to say God only spoke to my generation? But God's going to speak to the next generation in a new way. Jordan, He's going to raise up some new things in that generation, isn't He? God's probably going to text message verses in that generation, right? I mean, texting is a difficult thing for me. I can't spell. And now everything's being typed. I said, what was the matter with the phone? You can talk. You don't have to spell to talk. But now everybody's what? There's probably somebody doing it in this service right now, a text message. Huh? Probably one of the pastors going, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Again, beep. Huh? How many of y'all are willing to let the next generation's purity of God evolve in how God's going to make it? I think you are. That doesn't mean we leave the past generation. It just means we let God connect it all so that we will see who? God. That's the point of the attitude, that we might see who? God. I remember I was in a youth event a few months ago. I've never heard such racket in my life. Boy, does that sound like a pastor 16 years ago? I mean, these kids were up here and they were just worshiping like this. And so I said, well, man, I don't want to seem like an old person. So I started worshiping with them. Well, the problem was my knee gave out 3 minutes into the song. I said, I'm going to have to do that baby boomer worship. Finally, I realized why we worship like this. We can't move. It's not that we don't want to. We can't. Huh? That's okay. And one day I'm going to sit down. And guess what? I'm going to sit down. I'm going to go, man, that's some good thing them young people are doing. Hallelujah. But here's what I'm saying. Whether you got to sit, stand, crawl, or walk, say hallelujah that they might see Jesus no matter what. That's the attitude of God. Amen. That's the attitude of God. Blessed are the pure in heart. I love Miss Pink. Man, I'm not going to tell you how old she is. Older than me. You know what I love about Miss Pink? I got a prayer. Y'all join me in this prayer with Miss Pink. I'm praying that Miss Pink gets to stay alive to scratch the dirt on that new facility. Because here's what's powerful about that. I don't know anybody that's ever got to do this. Church started in her basement. And they were not singing rock and roll. They weren't preaching with a jumping around preacher. She's been in every change of this church. And guess what she's taught me to do? Hallelujah. And she's had to step over some big hurdles in her life. I remember one Mother's Day, I said, Miss Pink, I need you to preach.
Pastor, now you're pushing the boundaries.
I said, Miss Pink, okay, let's not call it preaching. Let's call it mother's talking.
Well, I might consider that.
I only let her preach once, though, because she fussed at me during a sermon. I said, we ain't having that again. You're talking about a preacher. I never will forget what she approached. She said, why do you stand there? It was out of Revelations. Why do you stand there gazing at the heavens when He is at work here? And then she looked at me and she said, Pastor, you're setting a bad example for the whole congregation. You work, and you don't spend time with your family. And I thought, Lord have mercy, just lay it all out right here in front of the congregation. She called me to what? Repentance. How do you argue with your grandmama? You don't argue with a grandmama. You just go, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. How many of y'all have noticed that? You don't ever see anybody arguing with a granny. You get a woman that old, they're going to hurt you if you don't do what they say you're going to do. You know what I mean? They done been through a husband. They done raised a bunch of children. You ain't nothing. You got to see it in the Jewish community. In the Jewish community, they say, you know, it's a patriarchal society. You got to see a Jewish grandma. Let me tell you what. She sits where she wants to sit. They sit where she's going to sit, and they eat what she's going to eat. Because why? She's paid the price most of the time of a pure heart. And they see God. Go to Galatians 5:22, and we'll wrap it up right here. Y'all got this today? How many of y'all got a pure heart? Pure heart, a couple of multitude of sins, man, that you want people to see Jesus. Now, we got to stay in that groove, church. We got to stay in that groove. Secondly, that the attitude of Jesus would be revealed through our individual lives. Third, that we would live out Galatians 5:22. These are already in you. Let me remind you, these are already in you. You don't have to go to a conference to get them. You have to release the Holy Spirit out of you into the world. Y'all hear that key word? Release the pure heart. Release the pure heart. How many of y'all found this? I find if I pray, I act better. How many of y'all found it? Come on, let's just talk for a minute this morning. How many of y'all found it to be true? It's just hard to blast somebody if you're praying. If you're saying, Lord, I want to be a blessing today. Lord, I want to act better today. I find that I don't yell at referees quite as bad if I'm praying on the sideline. Sometimes I say, Lord, you didn't give that person a brain one. And how they got that job, I have no idea. But blessed be the merciful. You gave it to them anyway. You allowed it to happen. And so I got to deal with it. So now the response is not what they did, but how I'm going to react to what they did. If you notice, Jesus always, check this out, always reacted like God. Put him on the cross. Who put him on the cross? His enemies, Andy. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. What did Jesus teach before he was crucified? Pray for your... See, this is what I like about Jesus. Not only was he a good teacher, he actually practiced what he said. Unlike preachers. We preach a multitude of sermons and live parts of them. Jesus preached great sermons and lived all of them. There's your revival. The world's waiting for the church to live out its faith and not just broadcast its faith. What if we started living it out? Well, these are the things we must live. Galatians 5:22. And here's what it begins to say. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's the attitude of a pure heart. I love God, I love people. How many of y'all love God and love people? Just look at your neighbor and say, I love you. Even if you don't know him, I love you. Come on, try it. Say, I love you. Come on, say, I love you. I love you. You say it to anybody. Come on, y'all try it. I love you. I love you. Get that word in your mouth. I love you. If you're sitting by your spouse and you had it said it that this week, shame on you. I don't think I've said it this week. Elizabeth, I love you. Huh? Watch, you can even say, even if you got a macho kid like I do, watch this, Blake, I love you. Now, when you're grown up and cool, that's hard to hear. You know, Blake's tough now, so that's hard to hear. Jordan, I love you, and I'm not gay. What do you think about that? See what I'm saying? We got to embrace this holy love. Amen? Watch this. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you about a pure heart. I couldn't pastor this church if I didn't love you all. I mean, I love you guys. And you know what? Y'all love your pastor. And you don't like him all the time, but you love him. See, there's a difference. It makes a difference. Can I tell you one quick story? We're in a ball game. We're way over in Western Kentucky. It's a fearful place to go to Western Kentucky. You drive 3.5 hours and you're close to nowhere. And you're there, river bottoms, strange sounds from animals we don't have in South Central Kentucky. Cool night of the evening playing a high school football game, and I look up in the stands and there's Bellinger over there and Timmy Young's big head right there in the middle of the stands. And they brought Freddie with them. And Freddie's dressed up like he's going deer hunting. He looked like a native Western Kentuckian. He had camo shoes on, camo hat on, camo jacket on. And Freddie's got a jacket that in case we have a nuclear war and go into a nuclear winter, Freddie will still be walking around, okay? But you know what? They never know this. I mean, I'm not getting sentimental, but when I saw them, it meant something. They had drawn a long way to say, I support you. That's a pure heart. A pure heart changes things. I watched a high school boy that Blake's met drive from Marshall County, Kentucky, to see a buddy that he met, drove 4 hours, 3.5 hours, to watch a game and after the game say, good job. I'm looking, this is a 17-year-old young man, and I'm saying, wait a minute. God's beginning to put together this pure of heart. Maybe some of us are going to see Jesus. Maybe eventually the church is going to hit that level of sacrifice again. We got to love one another, and we got to love God's purposes. This ought to bring in a great joy. Amen? There's a great joy. That's the attitude of the church. We got to have a joy. I don't know about y'all, but I like coming to church on Sundays. Amen? Man, I'd hate it if we had to come here and be bored every Sunday. Amen? Hey, and that can happen in a church. Y'all ever been there? I mean, my Sundays used to sound like this. Oh, God, it's Sunday again. I think they ought to say, oh, God, it is Sunday again. Amen? There's a difference, isn't there, Mr. Jackson? I'm not going through a routine so God will bless me. I want to be in the presence of God's love, and I want to be happening in God's joy. God's joy. And then what does it give us? It gives us peace. And the attitude of peace from a pure heart is this. God, you've made me, and I don't have it all together yet, but I'm okay with being me. He'll view there's one prayer I have that everybody will be all right with being you. And we just all start doing what we're supposed to do. Amen? Here's what I love about Hillview, and I encourage you to get to know the people at Hillview. We have characters in this church. Have y'all ever been around Dr. Ward? Jamie Ward is hilarious. He says things like this, Ohio State's the best team God's ever made in football. Hilarious things like this. You see what I'm saying? And when Louisville gets beaten, he says very things that are not from a pure heart. He's a character. Yeah. We got to love one another. We need each other. We embrace the joy with each other. We live in peace with one another. Let me tell you what, church. If we can be a peaceful place, God's got a great work for us. Now, to do that, we got to be patient. How many of y'all learn to be patient? I tell you what, if you don't know how to be patient, God has a solution for patience. You ready? Age. If you don't embrace patience somewhere in your journey, guess what's going to happen? You'll be an old fool. Here's why God leaves us around long enough to realize He's in charge. How many of y'all that have grown a little older have finally come to the realization? He's it. That's the beauty of age. He's it. No matter what I do, God's going to get it done. Be patient with one another. People are coming along. Amen? And when they mess up, guess what we need to do? Be merciful. See how these all intertwine and work together. And then guess what God gives us? Kindness. I see this a lot here. I just want to encourage you, stir it up even more so. Kindness. Some of y'all write notes and are just a blessing. My mother, I have to bring her up. She's got this pure heart. You know what her ministry is? Note writing. Let me show you how powerful it is. I don't get real sentimental, but I got a whole box of mama notes. And I know one day I'll pull those notes out. And I'll hear those mama notes, and I know she'll be sitting right there at the right hand of God. In Bibles I have in my life is that perfect penmanship that came from an age where we thought slow enough to write with deep correctness. An artisan at work. And that pure heart comes out in words for her on paper. Blessed are the what? Pure in heart, for they will see who? God! Kindness. Lisa Merle, you have that gift. Mm-hmm. God, well, for you, He takes your computer. And guess what? Can you handle this? I'm bragging on Lisa. We need to be okay bragging on the gifts of God in each other. Y'all okay with that? Some of y'all are going, well, that's not humble. Well, you're a fool. I don't boast on the things of humankind. I boast of the things of Godkind inside humankind. But I want us to get it. There's God inside of us. And we ought to celebrate when we see the things of God inside of us do what? Leap out and touch somebody. Lisa's on her computer. Guess what? She speaks in God's tongues on the computer. I believe if God can give you the tongue this way, I think God can give you the tongue this way. Some people sit on a computer and they get ready to write. and the Holy Spirit moves their hands and they're typing 100 miles an hour and words are flying on a screen and it's God's anointed message of kindness. Let's be kind this week, amen? This week I'm going to ask you to be extra kind. We got a lot of Baptists coming to Bowling Green. I'm not sure that's a good thing. I'm just saying they're arriving. No, it is a good thing. And you know what? I want us to be kind to them. What do they think about people from Hillview? They're not sure about us. We're a little loud. We're a little honest. We're too real. We're too point blank, but that's okay. They haven't kicked us out of the family yet. Everybody needs an uncle that's a little suspect. I'm it in Baptist life. Could this Jesus be true? Yes, he is. You ready? Goodness. Look for the good things in life. Here's some good things. A nice meal with somebody. See, here's what I'm watching. I'm talking about simple things because you know what? We take simple things for granted in this country. I never will forget being in Costa Rica. We were in a mission trip there and this brother was so happy what God had done on the mission trip and they weren't Baptists that he went and got a screw-off top bottle of sparkling wine. He brought it in. He wanted to have communion. I'm going, we're Baptist. Baptist. It wasn't about that. It was about what? He was saying, I love you and I've met your Jesus. Why do so many of us abuse the pure heart? I love you. You know what I learned in Costa Rica? That a square piece of cake can become a great celebration. See, I take that for granted in America. In Costa Rica, that was a special day to have cake. I think we need to get back to celebrating goodness. Amen? How many of y'all, listen, I want to encourage you to do something. I don't know what's been happening in our church. There's a lot of pregnant women here now. Wednesday night, you know, Mr. Martins, you know, you launched this new building thing, and I didn't even know them, but I came around the corner, and they were kind of gathered together talking about experiences. And I noticed that there was... the figures were all changed on these young ladies. I looked at them, I said, ladies, how are y'all doing? They said, Pastor Steve, did you know? And I said, I do now. I wasn't aware of these five ladies that they were bringing in new birth. And guess what? How many of us that have already been through that ride are going to be deep encouragers of goodness to this next generation? Jack, there's a lot of three-year-old little boys, they need Cowboy Jack in their life. You ain't got to teach your Sunday school class, but they got to see you on the sidewalk. And let me tell you what, they'll never forget this as long as they live. Cowboy Jack said, I did a good job. They'll die knowing Cowboy Jack. Now that's the pure heart. I got men in my life I still remember. I still remember the apple tobacco of Sterling Willoughby in his pipe. As a young kid, we sat outside First Baptist Church because they let me skip Sunday school with Sterling. I thought I was getting away with something, but you see, Sterling became my personal teacher. Take a couple draws and I'd smell that apple tobacco. He'd say, how you doing? I said, doing pretty good. You're not getting in any trouble, are you? I said, well, I might have done this bad. And he'd talk, why? I don't need to do that again. What was he doing? That's discipleship with a pure heart. You see, most people would have looked at his pipe and never saw his heart. See how religion keeps us from seeing God? Goodness. These are my memories of church, is opening the door for Miss Johnson that owned the firm. And guess what? I mean, I was a 9-year-old kid and I would run on Sunday nights to get the door of the church because I'd see Miss Johnson coming and I would open the door. You know why I'd open the door for Miss Johnson? She had those little braids on the back of her hair like this and she was a little short woman and she would walk like this and she was always fired up. And I said, if I was a woman, I'd want to be fired up like that. But you know why I really opened the door for Miss Johnson? Because she made such a big deal about it. She'd say, thank you, young man. You're such a good young man. I grabbed that door every Sunday night. was too stupid to realize Miss Johnson had a pure, and she was always seeing who? God. Y'all are some of those stories to other kids in this church. And the last thing that a pure heart does is this, is it calls us, binds us, welds us, fuses us together with the faithfulness of God. Because those who have a pure heart, they seek God. They yearn for God. They abide in the Holy Spirit. They flow with the power of the Holy Ghost. And on the day of their last breath, they enter into the kingdom of God. And they hear, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Look at the house that I have prepared for you. Welcome to your place. Amen. Let's see God together. Amen. Stand with me. Father, we are so thankful that you're so real. We're so thankful that you are pure, untainted with humanity. And so right now, church, the pure heart starts with this confession. Today, Jesus Christ, I know I need you in my life. I'm a sinner. I've broken the Ten Commandments. I've not done what you asked me to do. But today, God, I want you in my life. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. That prayer will change you forever. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. And Lord Jesus, I receive you into my life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for now you'll see God. Maybe today you just need to come and pray and say, God, you know what? I've forgotten to just be pure. That you're enough to love me. And you know what? At this altar today, what may need to happen is we just come together up here and look at each other and say, you know what? I thank God I get to go to church with you. I thank God I get to pray with you. I thank God that He's going to do a great work in you. I thank God for what He's doing in you. And I see Jesus in you. I thank God for that new life that's coming forth. Don't you, Mama? Wow. Dreams and expectations. And no matter what goes on with that child, God will be faithful. And God will be real. Amen. Well, you've heard the invitation. If you need to be baptized, absolutely come and talk to the pastors. If you need to receive Jesus, come on. If you need to come and just pray and say, God, you know, I get you today. Come on. This altar's open. These young men, young women, they've been out all night hanging out with each other. Wow, what's the church of the future going to be like? Don't give up. Why don't you come today and pray and see God for yourself? In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. He's cleaning hearts and souls, and He's making us pure. So don't escape Him today. And if we got to stay at the altar all day and just pray, so be it in the name of Jesus. God help us the day that Hillview gets confined to a routine. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.